Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike.
Happy day, everybody. Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. I'm excited to be here with you along with Mr. Michael Shanks. I am Stephen Boster, your co-host, along with, as I said, Mr. Michael Shanks over, I almost said across the pond.
No, I've over never been across the pond.
Mike, say hey to everybody.
Good morning to all you geeks out there in geekdom land. Hey, I said it right this week.
You did this week. Right on.
Wow.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us, man. We are just coming back from Mike hanging out in good old Montana with me, and we got to do some kind of fun Montana stuff. And
we had a great time, too.
Yeah, we didn't do the full margarita tour like we thought we would, because we were busy with other stuff. So,
well, we had a few margaritas, so. It was all good.
Yeah. So had a great time. Went to Yellowstone. What did you think of Yellowstone?
Oh, incredible. Incredible. Oh, my gosh. Seeing Old Faithful, that was pretty awesome. Just seeing the mountains. And, yeah, it beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I can see now why you enjoy being in Bozeman.
Oh, thank you.
It's a lot different than good old flat Belleville, that's for sure. We don't quite have the sights. I mean, I can go look at the arch, but yeah, whatever. I see that all the time.
Right. And I used to work there, so I don't need to see it anymore.
Right. I mean, the arch is pretty incredible for bringing visitors, you know, from out of town who've never been to St. Louis and stuff like that. It's pretty incredible for that. But yeah, once you've seen it, you've seen it. It's like, yeah, whatever. It's just a big metal thing, you know.
Right. Well, hey, everybody, you know, this podcast will release the October 1st, and I thought, you know, Mike just watched a horror movie last night. We had horror movie discussions about he likes horror movies. I don't. So this is really going to be Mike talking about horror movies. Why? Now this is one friend to another talking about why he likes them. So if you do not like horror movies, I ask you to please hang in there on this podcast, because this is a discussion to a guy who does not like horror movies, and to understand the fascination with them, because, you know, Halloween's coming out.
Yes. Halloween Kills.
You know, Halloween Kills comes out. We'll talk about that. You know, the Venom and Carnage movie is Carnage is a horror character. I don't care how you play it. You know, in Maximum Carnage, because I have that series from way back, that's horror. That is not, you know, just a villain, you know. And actually, I couldn't, just a side note, I couldn't make it through the whole series because they were killing all these people. And I was like, you know, it got kind of like.
Carnage is not for the faint of heart. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, I like how you put it that way. Yeah, he's not for the faint of heart.
I mean,
you
know? Venom's pretty gruesome, but Carnage is even more gruesome than Venom is.
Right. And so we are going to do a movie review on that. Mike is going to do a movie review on Halloween Kills. But, you know, in all things geekdom, what horror movies? What's going on with that? You know, kind of. So I didn't think we would cross this bridge. But because of Mike's fascination with your fascination with all the, you know, Halloween and those kinds of things, I thought, you know what? Let's give everybody a peek into our discussion. You know, this whole discussion of why do you like horror movies? Help a guy who is not into horror movies. What is the fascination with them? What have been your favorites? Are there certain tropes or things in horror movies, you know, that seem to be in every single horror movie?
Well,
you know, because we see commercials that make fun of that. You know what I mean?
Well, of course. Yeah, there's some great commercials out there.
Yeah.
Why don't we just get into the running car?
Right.
That's probably my favorite one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And the killer's just standing there with his chainsaw rolling his eyes like, oh my God, these people are stupid.
Right.
Which yep. You know, that's kind of a true, I mean, it's a little exaggerated, but it's kind of a true trope in the horror genre. Mm-hmm. I would like to clarify that I am more of a classic horror fan.
Okay. What makes it classic versus, you know, give me examples of classic versus today's.
I would classify anything in the 80s or before classic as far as horror goes. I mean, that's just my classification. I don't know what an official classification would be of that. I mean, I was into horror with Halloween, Freddy, Nightmare on Elm Street. I loved the Nightmare on Elm Street series. I do not care for that new guy that took over.
What was the actor's name that did it originally? Robert
Englund. Robert Englund was the one who did it originally, who played Freddy. To me, he is Freddy. There is no other Freddy for, you know, mm-hmm. no, mm-hmm. no. I'm sorry. Just end, if Robert's not doing it, end it. That.
So you watched even the new guy?
No, I refuse. I will not watch that new guy.
Well, how can you say he's not as good if you haven't?
Because nobody is Freddy but Robert Englund. Yeah. I'm sorry. And I got to meet Robert several years ago.
He's super nice.
Oh, he is. You would never believe that he's Freddy.
It's those nice ones you got to look out for.
That's right. That's right. But yeah, I was big time into Freddy and Halloween during the 80s.
Okay, so you classify those as classics.
Right.
And so then, what would you say are now, would you use the modern or current, or how would you classify?
Okay, now these would probably still be classified by some people as classic just because it's been so long that, you know, they came out. I don't care for the Scream series. I know there's a big fandom of Scream.
Okay.
I don't know. To me, they just look dumb. I
did watch the first one.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I watched the first one and I was just like, yeah, I just don't like this.
Okay. Like, spoiler alert for everybody. Okay. I mean, Drew Barrymore gets killed in the first 10 minutes. I was like, didn't see that coming. Okay. You know, I think that's what that. In Scream kind of made fun of some of those horror movie tropes,
right?
You know, in it.
And that may be why I don't like it, because I think it's more silly than it is horror, in my opinion.
Sure. I understand what you mean by that.
Where I think Halloween epitomized, to me, that's the ultimate horror film, Halloween.
Okay, because in the world of, you know, I'm just kidding, I don't think this morning I felt like I have a little bit more of a deep voice because it's early, but.
Yeah, but we always record early.
Yeah. In a world where death reigns king, you find. No, I'm just kidding. So in Halloween, I've seen the first one.
First one's the best.
The first one was, I'll be open with you. It was good because it set up an incredible myth. Legend, you know, or something. And it was great storytelling in and of itself. It was built on an interesting story or a legend or a myth kind of a thing, creating that. So I would say in that world, there was a certain level of anxiety. Everyone believed it. Everyone was in on it, you know, kind of a thing. Where I think a film making fun of tropes is not taking itself too seriously kind of a thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get you.
I can understand why, you know, within that realm, that may not be considered a classic or you may not like it because of that. That's how I'm interpreting what you're saying. And I would say that if we have classic, I would say that would be, that served a different generation. And I think even today's horror movies seem to be a little bit different too, in a different realm.
Think every generation, the horror movies change and evolve. Honestly, which may be like why I don't like some of the newest stuff out there. Megan's more into the newer stuff than I am, but she wants to go back and watch the classics, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we watched Halloween together. we watched Friday the 13th together, and both of us were like, this is stupid.
Oh, really? I've never seen Friday the 13th.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Any of them.
Well, this will be spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen the first Friday the 13th, which is what, 30, 40 years old, whatever that
right,
is.
Right.
The thing, the
we
bad.
We should have played our spoiler alert thing.
Kind of a thing. I'm not even going to do it. Anyway,
I gave you your spoiler alert.
You've had enough time to jump ahead if you want. But
right.
Anyway, so Friday the 13th, the first Friday the 13th, has none of the elements that we all know Friday the 13th for. Jason's not even the killer.
In the first one?
Yeah. Yeah. You know who the killer is?
No, because I've never seen it.
It's his mother. Yeah, right. Right. He's not even the killer. He's in it. He's in it, and there's some scenes where he's pretty intimidating and everything, and you think he's the killer, but it's really his mother. His mother is actually the killer. It's like a twisted version of, an even more twisted version of Alfred Hitchcock. Why can't I think of it?
You're talking about the Bates, Norman Bates.
Yeah, Norman Bates. I can't believe it. Now that's classic.
That's
horror.
Funny. We,
that's
we
classic
can't.
Horror.
Psycho.
Yeah, Psycho. Psycho. It's like this really even more twisted.
Right. But, you know, I won't put Alfred Hitchcock in horror as much as I would put
Psycho's
him in thriller.
Psycho, well, I agree with you that it's thriller, but it's classified as horror also.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
See, Psycho's, that's another generation back. That's the next generation back of what they considered horror.
Right. And I love Psycho. I think Psycho's incredible. And then the TV series that came out a few years ago, Brendan and I watched that whole entire TV series, and that was, oh my gosh, that was fantastic.
Was it? Was it good?
Bates Motel.
That's what the actor, he's in The Good Doctor now, I think.
Yeah, he is. I couldn't get into that. I tried it because I liked the actor. I thought he was fantastic.
I watched like part of the first season and lost interest. And I mean, it's still going strong.
Man,
he's in a new movie on Netflix. That's really good.
Oh, really? What is it?
I think it's called The Heist.
Ah, okay.
I think that's what it was called. I like the movie so much I forgot the name of the movie because I'm my brain's thinking about all the parts in the movie and stuff, and he does a really good job in it.
Well, he's fantastic as a young Norman Bates. I mean, he has all the mannerisms down, and yeah, it's incredible. It's like, wow. I was just blown away by his acting abilities in that series. Very, very good.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend that series. Even if you're not a horror fan per se, like you said, it's a great thriller. It really, really is.
Okay. And so his name is Freddie Highmore.
Okay. Yeah.
Is the actor's name. He was in. Yeah, Bates Motel was what the TV series was called. And what?
Right.
He was
Bates
in Charlie
Motel.
And the Chocolate Factory? Oh, he played Charlie.
Yes, he played Charlie.
He played Charlie in the Johnny Depp version. I call it the Johnny Depp version. It's really Tim Burton, but of Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Well, and you know Johnny Depp.
The Vault.
You know
the
Johnny.
Vault, not The Heist, but The Vault is what that Netflix movie is called.
You know, Johnny Depp connects to Nightmare on Elm Street too.
He was in the first one,
yeah, and he got killed.
right
in a waterbed. Freddy comes out of the waterbed and kills him. yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, he was in Spiderwick Chronicles, August Rush.
Yeah. He's
what?
Yeah.
He's okay. So that's enough about Freddie Highmore. We're talking about horror movies. So.
Right. So, but
sorry
then
about that. Squirrel.
See, then I even go back to. the real classics, Dracula, Frankenstein, you know, Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon. To me, those are the staples. Those
the universal,
are, yes,
the universal
monsters. They are the staples in the horror genre. I love those. I've just absolutely love those. And I know those aren't for everyone because, you know, they're very old. They're dated. For some people, they're in black and white and they can't watch black and white films. And if he's listening, he knows who he is. Certain person that's been on this podcast before.
That's funny. Okay.
I got to give him more time.
I will say, okay, so obviously there's different generations. Should we say generations?
I think generations is a good word.
So black and white generation, then there's a generation there, then the next one's what you call classic, and then there's one that, you know, kind of is...
Well, you know, I'd say that next generation is slasher, you know, because that's your Michael Myers, your Jason Voorhees, your Freddy Krueger. Those were all the slashers.
So would you consider the Alfred Hitchcock part of the black and white era?
I would consider that more of the black and white era. Because, I mean, most of the, you know, classic... I know Alfred Hitchcock did some stuff in the 60s into the color era. But I would I would think that his best stuff would... I would classify in the black and white genre. So.
The thing about Alfred Hitchcock films, and I've seen a couple of them, like Rear Window, was the tension that was built in them. That was with Jimmy Stewart, and really good.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got sucked into the story. Now, granted, a slow burn, a lot of those black and whites are slow burns kind of a thing, what I would call slow burns. But the tension that builds and the anxiety that builds throughout the whole thing is really what made it what it was. So that's why I said,
but he's a master at that. He was a master.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he's kind of, in my opinion, he's kind of the father of horror. Cause you know, a lot of the horror creators were inspired by him. So, I think he's sort of the father. I know he's a little more thriller than he is horror. But
but I think that's why your classification of slasher going to the next one, the slasher, sounds good.
Right. Well, I would suspect that Wes Craven, who's the creator of Freddy Krueger, I would suspect that he delved into Alfred Hitchcock some. You know, I would assume so.
We are a culmination of what came before.
Right. You know. And I know all of the horror guys were into the Universal monsters, and you know they all pull from that stuff. You know, that's the original. Those are the originals.
So. Yes. So now there's this after slasher comes. You know, an example we gave was Scream, you know, kind of a thing. In that generation of films, what would you call that? In your, you know, putting you on the spot to help me create this.
What would I call Scream? I call Scream crap. I don't like. I just don't.
Would
like
that be
Scream.
Like How I Met Your Mother? I know what you did last summer. Sorry.
Yeah, I never saw that. I never saw Ring, and I think Ring would be classified more of a serious horror film.
Ring was good. I did watch Ring.
Did you? I never watched it.
Those are my Blockbuster days.
Okay.
And so I had all these movies and people were talking about this film and how messed up it was. And
well,
and
see,
I said, well, is it gory and stuff? Cause I'm not into gory, you know, that's not me. You know, kind of a thing.
Well now, okay. Ring came out. That would have been the late '90s, early 2000s, right? I would guess.
So,
and if that's right, that would be early on in Brenda and I's marriage, and that's probably when I was kind of out of the horror genre for quite a while.
2002.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, by that time, I really wasn't watching horror flicks, and Megan was still pretty young. See, now Megan started with the fascination of... I think it was Nightmare on Elm Street. That was the first one. And I told her that's like one of my favorite horror films. That and Halloween. And she's like, oh, I want to watch Nightmare on Elm Street. So when once she got of a certain age, I said, okay, we can watch Nightmare. And I think I've only showed her the first one. We need to watch more, but honestly, the first one's the best. So
okay. So let me ask you this. Where would you put the original, I guess, Spielberg, Exorcist, or not Exorcist,
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, yes.
Yeah. Where would I put that? We just watched that last night because Megan had not seen Poltergeist yet, which, oh man, that's it's kind of funny because Poltergeist is actually a PG film. And Megan, right. I looked at Megan and I go, so if this was made today, now I know we just had Mark Anthony Austin on and he said that he was involved in a newer version of Poltergeist, which I have not seen yet. Which I probably should check that out just to compare the two and see what, you know, what they're like. But I asked her, I said, if this was made today, I said, what do you think the rating would be? She says, it wouldn't be PG. She says, it'd at least be PG-13. And I laughed.
Well, this was before PG-13.
Right, it was.
Because what was the first movie that was PG-13? Do you remember? It was...
Wait a minute. Was it... It wasn't Star Wars, was it? No.
No, it was Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom, yeah. Now that makes sense. And you know, so here's
another Spielberg film.
Right. Poltergeist was Spielberg. Temple of Doom was Spielberg.
I think that's the weight of Spielberg in Hollywood. Was he wanted it to be, he said, I don't want it to be R, so you know, I need it to be
right.
And that was the only options, was PG or R. And from my understanding on rated R movies, a lot of times, like why they did Venom, it was, they wanted R. A lot of people wanted it R, but they made it PG-13 because you get more people in the seats. You make more money.
Right. So maybe that's why, maybe somehow they convinced them to rate Poltergeist as a PG. Now, I mean, actually, there's no nudity in Poltergeist. There's very little language, actually. It's, but there's some intense moments. We have a face melting moment or a face pulling off moment, which looks very similar to Raiders of the Lost Ark when the guy looks into the ark and his face starts melting off. It's very similar to that, actually. It reminded me a lot of that. And I actually had completely forgot that scene was in it when I was watching it last night. I was like, oh, wow, I don't remember this because it's been years since I watched Poltergeist. And in fact, I even forgot when the clown disappears. Because it's later in the film when it happens, and it was like, oh, okay, here's the part, because the kid has the clown in his room, which is almost like a life size doll or something, you know, which is really odd to begin with. It's like, why would you have this clown?
right,
and the clown freaks him out, which I could see. Okay, clowns don't bother me for the most part, but I think that one would, and it was kind of freaky looking to begin with. And he like throws a Chewbacca t-shirt over the top of it, which is hilarious. Oh yeah, there's tons of Star Wars merchandise in this movie. So if you're a Star Wars fan and you want to see classic Star Wars merchandise, this is the film.
This is the film to watch it.
There's vintage action figures all over it.
I think you're making that up just to make me watch that film.
Oh no. You can ask Megan. There on the kid's headboard or shelf above his bed, you see a Tauntaun with a Tauntaun with a farm boy Luke in the Tauntaun, which I thought was hilarious. I have a Tauntaun in here somewhere and a farm boy Luke. He had a Hoth Han, which I don't know why he didn't have Hoth Han in the Tauntaun. R2-D2, what else was in there? He had Star Wars bed sheets, and then get this. Okay, this is wild for Poltergeist. He has the Darth Vader head action figure case, which I have one also. But the producers of Poltergeist, they painted the eyes of Vader red. There is no version of that case that has red eyes like that. It is the only one I've ever seen. And it makes it look freaky.
Whoa.
I don't know if they did it just to make it more intense. I don't know why. But for some reason, they painted the eyes red. it's that's something crazy. Else. So, yeah, I really like Poltergeist, actually. I think it held up well for a 1982 film.
It took 40 years. Oh, yeah. 39, I guess, technically. 39.
Well, we're almost there. We're almost, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll do some kind of special anniversary next year. They should. They should. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because I think the film's held up. The special effects are decent in it, especially when you take it in context of 1982. I'd say the worst of the special effects was probably the scene with the guy ripping his face off. And then he realizes he actually isn't ripping his face off. It's like the poltergeist messing with his mind is what it is. But that scene is, it's a little, you can tell it's the, yeah. You
know, now, do you classify that? I love how we're creating this classification because it's going to help me understand a little bit more of why you like horror movies. Poltergeist, we're putting into that third area. So we got black and white slasher and then this third area. What should we call it? That's 82. So technically that'd still be under the slasher realm.
Yeah, this definitely isn't a slasher film. This would be more,
but still considered a horror movie though.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's a horror film. It's just not a slasher film. Cause you don't have the killer running around killing people.
Slashing like everybody. Yeah. Okay. So even within generations, there's different.
Yeah. There's subgenres. They're subgenres.
Okay, so this is confusing now.
I would say this is more mystical, a little more mystical, because you're talking about, talking about spirits. Okay, I can go spirits. With
that. So mystical, spiritual,
right?
Metaphysical.
Going, almost Ghostbusters realm. And I know now, you're...
Ghostbusters, I put in this third... Would that be third realm? When did Ghostbusters come out?
Ghostbusters came out in 84, I believe it was. I want to say 84.
Ghostbusters. Something strange.
In your neighborhood.
84.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay.
And we got the new Ghostbusters coming out soon, too.
Yeah, which looks really good, actually.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really looking forward to Ghostbusters 3. I don't know. Did they give it a subtitle? I don't know what they've called it.
They did. Afterlife, I think, or something like that.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I think
my only concern with the new Ghostbusters, I have a fear that it's not going to be much comedy in it. And I want some comedy in my Ghostbusters.
Here is my, just real quick on that. Here's my interpretation. I will go see this Ghostbusters Afterlife. It is called Afterlife.
Oh, I definitely will go see it.
Here's what I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be like the Goonies, and I'm looking forward to that. Where, again, another Spielberg-esque film, wasn't it?
Sure, yeah, Goonies? I think so. Goonies so is a great film, too.
Oh, it's fabulous. That's a good classic. I listened to it say classic, and it's, you know, we're getting old,
man. All our movies are classics.
Right. So,
so is my music, because,
you know,
too.
Goonies had seriousness, but it was it had some funny stuff in it. I'm going to equate it to that. Now, is it going to be kind of like slapstick humor that the original Ghostbusters is? No. I don't think it's going to be like that. Because that was some fun, goofy humor.
See, I put Goonies closer to the original Ghostbusters, though.
Right. Well, I think they're going to continue that. I think you're going to have serious moments of what's going on, you know, and some crazy zaniness of figuring out how to use the Ecto-1 and the traps and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean I want some seriousness to the Ghostbusters. I want them to take it seriously, you know, because I feel they took the original seriously, but you have some comedic geniuses who worked on the original Ghostbusters. I mean,
oh my goodness, yeah,
you know, Bill Murray,
Aykroyd,
yeah, Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, and unfortunately we lost Harold Ramis a few years ago. I mean, those are comedic geniuses, and then combined with, I know some people say that the special effects in Ghostbusters are a little hokey. I disagree with that. I think the special effects in Ghostbusters hold up very well. Today,
the time period they came out, they were really good.
I mean, the ghosts look really intense, and I thought they were pretty amazing. I think they hold up very well. So you took those moments, and you had some kind of horror moments in that film, just blended with good comedic moments on top of it, which made for almost a perfect film. It really was. The original was the first. Second one had its problems.
It did. They were trying to bring it back, kind of a thing.
Yeah, so, I enjoy the second one, but I prefer the first one. The first one's better, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping they continue it. But all the commercials or all the promos I've seen of it so far, it seems like it's all on the serious side. And I'm like, okay, I want that, but I want some comedic moments.
It may be an overcorrect off the one before. You know what I'm saying? That they were trying to be a little goofy humor with it.
And I didn't even watch that last one.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Oh, I didn't even watch
it. And it wasn't. And it had nothing to do with the fact that it was all women who do it. That was an issue. It just wasn't a good movie.
Well, I had a problem with the fact that they basically rebooted the Ghostbusters. They made it as if the original Ghostbusters never existed. I hated that. To me, it felt, you know, this looks like they're doing it right as far as that goes, because this, you have the handing down of the mantle to the next generation, which I like that idea. I think that's a good idea. This whole, oh, we're going to erase the original Ghostbusters. They never exist. We are the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
We're the first and only Ghostbusters. No, bullshit. Sorry. I call bullshit on that.
Right. Right. Whoops, PG-13, sorry. Everybody.
Sorry.
Well, it is a horror movie episode. So okay, so I hear classic back in black and white. Then the next season, we're looking at slasher movies, also mystical movies. I like how you said that, mystical movies. I think that would be the supernatural, because I'll come back to that.
Yeah, because I think Poltergeist falls into the supernatural very well. You're dealing with, again, spoilers on a 40-year-old movie.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen Poltergeist?
I've seen bits and pieces. I don't remember it. Okay. I know I have seen it, but I barely remember, because I've only seen it maybe once. That was a long time ago. I know there's a swimming pool, the whole, you know, they're building a swimming pool.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty...
And everybody comes out of the swimming pool.
Well, yeah, all the...
Because they're on a burial ground.
Right, exactly.
That's why the Poltergeist is there, right?
Right. So what it is the company that the dad works for, he works for a building company. They, you know, they build neighborhoods and such, and he's selling houses. So he has one of the first houses built in the neighborhood, and he doesn't realize it, but they actually built on top of a cemetery, and they claimed that they relocated the cemetery to a different location. All they did was move the headstones, because it was a lot cheaper to move the headstones than it was to actually excavate all the bodies and move them along with it. So they just left them there and relocated the headstones. And apparently the ghosts of those bodies were not happy about that.
Right. Okay.
Which I think makes for a great movie. It was a great story.
That's an interesting premise. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So
they're here.
Yep. Yeah.
If we would have planned this more, I would have had that as a soundbite, but
that's our.
This was kind of a seat of our pants last moment thing.
Well, we've been talking about horror movies. We're moving into October. Yes, that's true.
Sure.
I will say, well, because we got a whole bunch of other stuff planned, and it's just the timing of it all too. The way I'm hearing our conversation right now is we're classifying different genres or different styles and different time periods of horror movies. I've got four in my here: black and white, slasher / mystical season, a third season, which is like Scream and that kind of a thing. And I want to call that probably, I don't know if I want to call it teenage horror movies. You know, it's always these teens and stuff like that.
I think Scream, you would classify that.
Yeah, and so I know what you did last summer would be too. It seemed like they were all teenage. All of a sudden it turned into everybody being teenagers, if that makes sense.
What was Blair's Witch Project? I watched that. I hated that. That was a
Blair Witch? I was working at Blockbuster at the time when that came out on video.
Yeah.
And what was interesting about that is they made it for like just almost nothing.
Well, yeah, you know, it was just kids running around in the woods with a video camera is all it was.
Right.
I mean,
but here's when you, what made when it good was good storytelling.
I watched the movie. I didn't see any good storytelling in it.
Okay. Okay.
Did you watch the movie?
I did watch the movie.
It sucks. It's horrible.
It was the beginning of the found footage
movies. I hate
it,
that.
It created a new genre.
Yeah. Almost going into reality TV crap.
Yeah. See, but do you just, that's your bias.
I don't like most reality TV. Some reality TV I get into.
We're watching Alone right now.
Alone.
Going through the series Alone, where they drop these survivalists.
Okay. Well, I like some of the survivalist stuff. Brendan and I watch Naked and Afraid. You know,
I hear it's similar to that. I have not watched Naked and Afraid.
It's interesting.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. So, okay. So real quick. So then there's the new season. And I don't know what to call it, but I would say like The Conjuring 2, you know, James Wan.
Yeah. I haven't watched those either.
I hear they're good. They made a lot of money. They were on really small budgets, and they just made a ton of money. But James Wan, I think, is considered, if I'm hearing correctly, is considered probably one of the today geniuses dealing with horror films.
Okay.
In the style, in twists in horror films. Like, he just came out with, I think it released this week or last week, Malignant. It's on HBO Max.
Oh, when we were scrolling through looking for Poltergeist, we did see the little ad for that. I don't know. I have no idea what that's even about, though.
Well, that's so I've watched several reviews about it. One was a spoiler review, which normally doesn't bother me. But once I heard what the spoiler was, I was like, oh, but see, I'm not a big horror movie.
Okay.
And I was like, well, okay, it's the new thing on HBO Max. You know, maybe you listen to it and, you know, whatever. And one guy said he was kind of bored with it. The other guy said it was a genius film. And so the first guy that I watched.
That sounds a little dangerous to me when one says it's boring, the other says it's genius. It's like, oh, boy. Right.
So the first reviewer is a guy who just, a guy going in and saying, here's movies, here's what they are.
Now, wait a minute. When you say a reviewer, what kind of reviewer are you talking about? Are you just talking about reviewers like us, YouTube? Okay. All right.
Who's really popular.
I tend to trust YouTube reviewers a little bit better than, you know, your classic,
Siskel and Ebert style Siskel. Reviewers.
No offense to Siskel and Ebert, but usually I didn't agree with them.
Right. You get to the point where reviewers, I don't know how to explain it, but some of the reviewers are like, you get so caught up into being a reviewer that you miss the aspect of the fun of going to the movies.
Right.
Now, the first
reviewer. And sometimes they think they're better than everybody else, and I don't like that.
I don't know if that's the case, or it's just their job or something. You know, it's all based upon what, in my opinion, it's based upon all what you've seen and oh, I love these little tidbits and well, they didn't do it in that movie or they, you know, rather than letting each movie speak for itself, they're comparing it to all the catalog of what they've seen. And so I think that gives them that perspective. And then, yeah, there are probably some that are, you know, think they're full of themselves because they're some part of large media outlet,
right?
You know, kind of a thing. And that happens with any, you know, news commentator.
Oh, I fully agree. That,
they get big heads or whatever.
I fully agree.
We'll do it live.
Whatever.
So the first reviewer is kind of like, you know, the way he reviews, and some of you may know who I'm talking about once I kind of give this, but he goes, you know, well, I buy it on Blu-ray, or is it, you know, or it's a good time if you're drunk, or, you know, no alcohol required. And I like him because he comes from just a guy who's, you know, looks at all things. The second reviewer is a guy who's also a really popular YouTuber. And I like him, and he's changing his channel a little bit recently, but he really good about the technical elements of filmmaking in general.
Okay, cool.
And that's why I like his perspective. So, so what he did, where the first one thought he was kind of bored, the second one, he recognized that if you watch it on the first time, the first halfway, you don't know what's going on. He goes, but when you watch it a second time after seeing it the first time, he's like, it's a brilliant film. He goes, and unfortunately, you have to watch it twice to get that. So I'm like, oh,
gotcha.
Okay. And then that one, he gave the spoiler. And I was like, oh, that's such a good twist. If I was going to watch it, I probably would be really upset at myself. But now that I know kind of the end, when I watch it the first time, it's like I'm watching the second time.
kind of thing. Well, I'll check out some previews.
But it did make me want to watch it. Okay. It really did.
So maybe I got to watch this then.
Yeah. So, but that's the current season. So James Wan, I think, capsulates because, you know, he did the whole Conjuring series, Annabelle, you know, those, and people will say those are really good. They're well done horror movies as far as storytelling and that kind of thing.
Now, Annabelle's the doll, right?
Annabelle's the doll, which I actually have seen in real life.
Have you?
I have.
Okay.
I went to, I don't, unless I dream this, which is, you know, who knows, it's quite possible, you know, because it's been so long ago. But I believe, or I feel like at some point, I went to that museum, the Warren's Museum, not even knowing what it was. Like,
where is the Warren's Museum located?
I don't remember.
Because I got another doll story for you. Because have you ever heard the story of, I think the doll's name is Robbie. I think it's Robbie. See, I haven't listened to it in a while, but I was listening to a podcast called Lore. And Lore's, if you're into horror, scary stories, things that, I'm talking to the audience, Stephen. stories that could be true or based in reality. Lore is fantastic. Okay. And the guy is great. He's a great storyteller too. And he does some awesome research. I forget his name, but, yeah, just look up Lore. It's good stuff. But he did a story on, I think the doll's name was Robbie, and, the doll is actually in a museum also. I want to say on the East Coast somewhere. I don't remember where.
It is in, so the Warren Museum is in Monroe, Connecticut. So I haven't been there. I must have gone to somewhere else because I haven't been to Connecticut. Okay. I've been to New York, which is just north of downtown New York. It's not that far. Well, it's between New York and Hartford.
Robbie's located, wherever Robbie's located, he's in a museum somewhere. And they say that before you walk in the room, you need to ask him permission to come in and look at him. Pretty freaky, huh?
what's how do you spell that?
I think it's just Robbie. Robbie the doll or something like that.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Did you find it?
Oh, he's freaky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He is.
Or you have to, no, you can't take a picture without asking his permission. That's what it is. You can come in and look at him.
Robbie is now on display at the East Martello Museum.
There you go. There you go.
Which I don't know where that is.
It's got a freaky story behind it too. And yeah, it's this kid who basically grew up alone, like I want to say in the 30s or something like that. And his aunt gave him this life-size doll. And then he started talking to the doll as if it was his best friend. And then they said it was a very well-off family that, you know.
That's Florida. That's Key West, Florida.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's where it's at.
But it was it belonged to a well-off family, very, you know, rich at the time. You know, they had servants and such. And they said that the things were happening in the house that they believed that the doll was actually doing, and servants would quit constantly. They couldn't keep them. You know, they'd be like, I'm out of here. This job ain't worth it. See ya.
Interesting.
I'm not putting up with this doll, you know.
Right.
Things would move, and it was all revolved around the doll. And then the doll gets put away or something. I forget. And then like family years, a couple years later, move into the house and then they discover the doll. And then things started happening around that family, you know, revolving around the doll and everything. It's got a long history, really freaky. And then, like I said, it's on display now in that museum. And they claim that you have to ask Robbie for permission to take his photo. If you do not ask him for permission, things will happen to you. And they have letters of people asking Robbie's forgiveness for not asking for permission because supposedly things happened to them after they left.
Whoa.
I mean, take it however you want, you know,
right.
If you want to believe it, believe it. If you don't, I understand. That's great. But
right.
It's a great premise for an awesome story. It really is. And I think, mm-hmm. I think Annabelle's story wraps into Robbie's.
I don't know. I don't know if they're interrelated. I know it's the same.
So now I didn't go see Annabelle. And part of that was like, I already heard Robbie and Robbie was real life. And I don't think I want to see Annabelle and I like horror.
I remember being in some museum that had some weird stuff, and they were saying there was this doll that was haunted and blah, 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 blah. And I always assumed it was the Annabelle doll, but I don't remember ever being up in Connecticut. So.
Well, I know a few years ago, this has nothing to do with a doll, but a few years ago, Brent and I went to Alton, Illinois. Alton is supposed to be the most haunted place in all of Illinois, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have a torture museum. We went there on our anniversary weekend a few years back.
Okay. What a great date night.
Yeah. It was pretty wild, actually. Well, see, we were just, we spent the weekend in Alton that weekend. And we're walking around, and, you know, Alton's an interesting old river town, you know, and we're just walking around downtown Alton and stuff and looking at, you know, what stores are there and, you know, what's there. And there was like a hearse parked out front, and anyone knows me knows I actually would like to buy a hearse for, you know, both Megan and I.
That's what you should have looked for lately, recently.
Oh, yeah, when I was looking for a new car. Which I did find a replacement car. Yay.
Yay.
I replaced my Toyota Camry with another Toyota Camry.
Right on.
A little sportier this time, too.
Nice.
I really wanted to open up on the highway the other night when we were taking home, but I was kind of guiding Brenda home, and if I would have done that, she would have been ticked off at me. So
right. I hear you.
So next few days, I'll get on the highway and open up on it with it and hope I don't get caught by a cop because it is red. My first red car, by the way. Anyway, yeah, so this place like had a hearse out in front of it, you know, advertising it and stuff. And I was like, what is this? We got to go check this place out. And it had some of the weirdest torture devices from hundreds of years ago. I mean, it was just strange. I won't even get into some of the torture devices that they had in there because, yeah, it was talking about they would torture certain parts of your body that we don't want to discuss. It was crazy. Mm-mm. Crazy.
There's a reason I don't like horror movies, dude.
Well, it's fascinating that some of this stuff was used. You got to admit that.
Right.
I mean, that's real life, dude. That's not even horror. I mean,
we moved from horror movies to first it's our metaphysical stories and then now into real life situation. But, you know, you have to admit there are some aspects of horror movies that get their stories from real life. I mean, Kelly is into true life crime stuff. And
you got to watch that, dude. You got to watch that stuff. My wife watches that, too. And I'm always going, oh, great. You're looking for ideas, aren't you?
Oh. She's going to laugh when I tell her that, when you said that. Maybe that's her form of horror movies.
I call them How to Kill Your Husband episodes.
How to Kill Your Husband.
Because it seems like the thing she's watching the most. It's like,
that's great. What she's watching? Yeah. Oh, no, we get snookered into like some of those 2020 primetime episodes.
Oh, yeah, we've watched some of those too, and they're fascinating.
Yes, some are super fascinating, right, and stuff. So I guess I bring all that up in the aspect that I think a lot of times horror movies get their ideas from true life situations.
Oh yeah, like John Wayne Gacy, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And all. So yeah, I mean, just there's some messed up people out there, kind mm-hmm. of a thing.
So yeah, when you think that the horror movie is messed up, just remember it was probably inspired by a real life event.
Right.
Most likely it was. I mean, not every single horror film, obviously Freddy's not. You know,
no, but they get some great ideas and stuff.
Well,
of course, that brings you back to Stephen King and these demented minds that can come up with these stories.
Stephen King, his greatest is The Shining. I love The Shining.
Did you see Dr. Sleep?
Yes. Yes,
I did. Oh, yeah. We talked briefly about that while you were here. That's right.
Number one, it's a prequel, or it's a sequel to The Shining.
And
number two, it's got Ewan McGregor. Of course I had to watch it.
Right.
Ewan McGregor in the sequel to The Shining, one of my favorite films. Hell yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I read the book too. The book was good. The book is actually better.
It's different.
Yes. There's different endings.
Always.
There's different endings actually. Just like the original film. The original film did not end the same way the book ended. So... Mm. Yep.
Interesting. You know, because I watched Dr. Sleep. I've seen The Shining and Dr. Sleep. So I guess those are horror movies. I guess I've watched more horror movies than I realized.
They're horror movies. They're, yeah. If you watch King, you've watched horror movies.
Yeah. I mean, say that again.
If you've watched Stephen King, you've watched horror movies.
Yeah.
And he kind of is the king of horror. So,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have read The Gunslinger, the first.
I have not.
Dark Tower.
I have not.
It's interesting.
I heard the movie doesn't even compare to the book.
I did watch the movie, and they're different.
Yeah.
You know, I think with the movie, they were trying to set up the whole Dark Tower universe or lead into it too much. Like, why is it called the Dark Tower? You know, kind of a thing where they could have just mentioned it. But yeah, it was good. I thought the casting of Flag, the bad guy who's in many of King's works. He was in The Eyes of the Dragon, King's one fantasy novel, which I read and I really enjoyed. He's in there. He's called Flag, FLAGG. I think he's the same name in The Stand. I think it's that same kind of bad guy.
Okay.
I think is the name. So, that casting with Matthew McConaughey, it was actually not bad, you know, kind of a thing. I just think the director, I don't know what he was going for with the films. I love that they got Idris Elba to be the gunslinger, which was great because I just really like him. I think he's a great actor. He could have been better. It is okay. Unfortunate, but I think that's the curse of some of King's works. Is the movies are never as good as the books. And
yeah, I don't think so. Now the latest version of It.
Now I've heard good things about It.
Oh, it's pretty incredible. And we actually went, Brenda wanted to go see It, which shocked the daylights out of me. I'm like, really? You're always, I don't like horror films, but you want to go see It. So we went, and it was in two parts. And we went and
right,
seen
which
the.
Which I heard was the best thing to do because it's such a huge book.
Oh yeah, it's humongous. But we went and seen the first part. She loved it. She really loved the movie. And I was like, oh, okay. She's like, I want to watch the original. I was like, okay. I go just right. To warn you. A couple years prior to this, Megan and I went and seen Pet Sematary. Okay, the new Pet Cemetery.
The new one. Okay.
Yeah, we went and seen the new one. And So I had remembered the original, and the original came out, I think, in the 90s. And I remember the original just being scary as all get out. And so we went and seen the new one, and then she's like, "Dad, I want to watch the original." I said, "All right, we'll watch the original." And I'm like, "Oh man, I wished I wouldn't have rewatched the original. I wished I would have just left it in my memories, because it's a lot better in my memories than it was watching it." Oh gosh, it was so cheesy and so bad. I was like, "God, I do not remember this movie being that bad."
Yeah, well, maybe the remakes are doing a better job.
The funny thing is, I liked the remake. I didn't like the ending, though. I still struggle with the ending of the new one because they changed it. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like this. I like the ending of the original better.
Okay. So, much more better.
Much more better. Exactly. When Brenda and I went and seen it, and then she's like, "Oh, I want to watch the original." I'm like, "Oh my God, I don't know if we want to watch the original."
Right. And that was Tim Curry.
Actually, you know, the original of It, I don't think it was near as bad as the original of Pet Sematary.
Okay. Okay.
It's not, I hate to say it's not as good, because Tim Curry is a genius. He really is. He's a fantastic actor. He does a mm-hmm. great job as Pennywise. I loved him. Mm-hmm. But what is it, Skarsgård or whatever is playing the new? Mm-hmm. Oh my mm-hmm. gosh, he's fantastic. I wish there was a way we could put them both together. That would be awesome. I'd like to see that, but I know that's never going to happen. But you know. So yeah, we went and rewatched the original It
TV series.
Yeah, it was made for TV because, well, they did that with The Shining too. Well, okay, It they did that only. Now The Shining, they actually had a TV remake which followed closer to the book, but the original movie I think is better. Now the book is better in my opinion than all of them. But even though that TV remake they did, and it starred the guy from Wings, from the TV series Wings. I can't think of it. He played Jack Nicholson's part.
Yeah, I can't think of his name either.
And I like him. He's a good actor and all. But I don't know. It's hard to follow in Jack Nicholson's footsteps, you know.
Well, you're a Jack Nicholson fanboy.
I am. But Jack is the king. So, you know.
Right.
I'm sorry. Jack's performance and Shelley Duvall's performance are near perfect in Shining. They're fantastic.
That was Stanley Kubrick, wasn't it?
Yeah, Stanley Kubrick who did the original. Yeah.
Right.
So that TV remake, in my opinion, was very bad. I didn't like it. Now, It wasn't a TV remake. It was just premiered on TV, and that's because it's so long, and it's easier to put it in a television format in a mini-series than it was a movie back in the day. Mm-hmm. Where today, they just split it in two, and you know, which worked. And it works really well split into two because you're talking about two time periods. Mm-hmm. The first half is when they're kids. You know, mm-hmm. and then the second half is when they're adults. So mm-hmm. it works perfect as a two-part two-part movie. And it worked mm-hmm. pretty well as a mini series on television because they kind of did the same thing on television too. So I think the television version of It was better than the original movie version of Pet Sematary.
Okay. We're almost turning into a rate Stephen King adaptations.
Yeah, well, kind of thing. He has a lot of them, so I would have to say out of Stephen King, my favorites are probably The Shining and then It. Those would be my favorite.
Wasn't there a remake on one of the new streaming services on The Stand?
I don't know. There might have been.
I think there was, but I heard it got mixed reviews or, you know.
And if I remember right, The Stand was done as a miniseries on television also.
It was, and I watched it.
Yeah.
And I actually enjoyed it.
And that's been a long time. I really don't remember a lot from that, honestly. I know it's not as long as some of them. But for some reason, I don't remember it as much. I don't know. Right. I don't know if that means it wasn't as good or what.
This Paramount. It's on Paramount, so you have to have Paramount.
Oh, that's why I haven't heard about it, or you know, mm-hmm. I'm not paying for Paramount streaming service.
So which Skarsgård did? Oh, this is weird. Okay, so is all right. So Skarsgård is a family. Skarsgård.
I don't know what his name is. If Megan was there's in here, Stellan, she'd know.
And then there's Bill.
I think it's
and
Bill.
And then there's Alexander.
I think it's Bill. I'm pretty sure Bill's it's Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah. I think his brother is Alexander. Let me double check this. Yes, his brother is Alexander, who plays Flag in The Stand on Paramount.
Oh, wow. Now that I didn't know. That's an crazy. Interesting connection there.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That is interesting. Wow. So, but I've heard mixed reviews on The Stand, the new one. So
you want to know my least favorite King movie?
What was that?
My least favorite King movie, but probably my favorite soundtrack to any King movie. Okay. Would be Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive. All
it's
right.
The one where the trucks are killing everybody.
Okay.
The rigs come to life, and then the main rig has got a big Joker face on it, or Green Goblin face on it, not Joker face, Green Goblin.
Okay.
Looks like the Green Goblin from Spider-Man.
Well, you know, we're headed that way with the new Tesla driverless trucks.
Right, that's true. That's true. So
Skynet takes over the trucks and creates Maximum Overdrive.
But Maximum Overdrive, the soundtrack was done by AC/DC, and the soundtrack is amazing.
That's why you love it. I understand that now. Okay.
I love the soundtrack. The movie sucks. Terrible movie.
The soundtrack was good.
And I don't know what the book was like. Never read that book. So.
Gotcha. So, well, here's where I'm at. I've got I got four phases of time periods of horror movies to help me understand why you like horror movies. The black and white period, the slasher / mystical. Then there's the teenage horror films. Yeah. You know, that's just an overgeneralization because we couldn't come up with anything else at the moment. And then number four was just the current time period. Of horror movies, and that there's a lot of remakes in today's.
Look, I'll tell you the thing about horror flicks, okay? Mm-hmm. Especially like when they first come out, okay? So like the new Halloween came out in 2017, I believe it was, okay. And that was actually a great Halloween year because Megan and I went and seen that, and then. They're not Warenberg anymore. Marcus Theaters. Marcus okay. bought out Warenberg, so we don't get the Warenberg Theaters.
Right. And where it ends with the
Warenberg.
Right.
I miss that. I really do. In fact, when Marcus comes up, Megan and I usually do the Warenberg thing. That's funny. Anyway, so Marcus showed Halloween, the original Halloween that year. And the great thing is, so we got to see the original Halloween from 1978, and then we saw the new one from 2017, both in the same Halloween season. And like I said, the great thing about that is the new Halloween 2017 basically erases everything after the original 1978. So it's like none of those movies ever happened, which is kind of funny.
That is funny.
But I loved going to see those films in the theater with other people because you
oh, community experience.
Yes, it's a community experience. You get the chills. You get people screaming. I mean, it's a community experience, like you said. That's the fun part of those movies. Mm-hmm. I felt the same way back in the 80s when I'd go see the Freddy movies, the Nightmare on Elm Street series. You know, it was the same thing. You go to the theater, you see them, you know. It's fun. That's why I like horror films, you know.
Okay. All right. See, my perspective, I was looking at horror just from me going to, you know, watching a horror movie, whether it be home or, you know, I wasn't even thinking about that.
I mean, if you're watching it with your significant other, yeah, then there's a good portion to that too.
Okay.
That's fun too. So, of course, Brenda doesn't like to watch those. So,
yeah. Right. Right.
She used to watch some of them back with me back in the day. Now she's just like, nope, I'm not doing it. So Megan and I watch them together. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a different experience with your daughter.
All right. Yeah. So, okay. So here's what I've learned today. I've learned different time periods. We've already, you know, different styles.
Oh, many different styles.
Many different styles. This is the biggest deep dive I've ever done with horror movies. And some of you are like, Steven, that's just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
kind of thing. I've also realized that after our discussion, I've probably watched more horror movies than I thought I have. And all considering kind of a thing.
We should do a Halloween watch party.
A Halloween watch party? Oh, my goodness.
We could watch the original Halloween.
We'll go watch original Halloween. All right. Everybody let us know. Do you want us to do a Halloween watch party?
Jamie Lee Curtis is awesome in it. It's her first film.
Was it her first? Her very first film?
Yep.
That is interesting. I tell you what, she looks ragged. They designed her as really ragged and almost crazy herself in this one.
Yeah.
Watching the trailer of the Halloween Kills.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense though. After what she had been through, you know, I can see. I love, okay, kind of a spoiler alert for Halloween 2017, but she like booby traps her entire house. It's great. And some of the booby traps, I'm like, oh, dang, I want to do that.
So it's a horror Home Alone, is what you're saying.
Yeah, kind of in a way.
Okay.
There's an aspect of that to it.
All right.
I like this better than Home Alone. I hate Home Alone. I absolutely hate that movie. There was a time I loved it, but when it became everybody's go-to for Christmas, then I hated it. It's like, oh, gosh.
Yeah. I will. Speaking of go-to for Christmas, we watched, if anybody hasn't seen it yet, we watched. Did we post that? I don't think I posted it. We did a trailer reaction to Hawkeye.
Oh, I don't think we did.
I don't think you did. Okay, I need to work on that. So I'll get that up and out. And
yeah, when I was there at your house last weekend.
I know. We were like, oh, we heard the trailer that you watched it. So we didn't do a big discussion on it or anything. We just kind of did our reaction and talked about it just briefly.
Oh, we're going to have to do some episodes.
Like a fun Christmas movie. My go-to Christmas movie was Die Hard. Just saying.
Really?
No.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to blow your mind. I've never watched Die Hard.
Really? It's fun action film. Bruce Willis. What?
I know. It's Bruce Willis.
And Servius Snape, you know. Alan Rickman.
Now see my go to Christmas movie is Christmas Vacation.
Oh, okay.
To me, sure. Best Christmas movie out there. Christmas Vacation. I love that movie.
Right.
Chevy Chase. Fantastic. Hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, we're ending our horror show with Christmas movies.
Oh, my daughter's going to get ticked about that. She's going to be like, "No, you can't talk about Christmas in Halloween."
Right. It's too early. Too early. Don't do that. Right. All right, we won't do that. We'll stop there with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we will have to come back to a discussion for Christmas, though, because, you know, there's always the big question of whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not. There's the debate of whether it's a Christmas movie. But I think over on our podcast, the big debate is whether Batman Returns is a Christmas movie or not.
Oh, we should totally do that.
We'll have to come back to that.
We will come back
so
to
there,
that.
There's a, come back. There's a Christmas idea.
There we go. There you have it. That'll okay. be a fun December. December will be fun for us on the show.
Oh, yeah. We'll come up with some really fun stuff. Yep. And we'll yep. be coming up on close to a year at that point, too. So
getting there. Yep. I think January, the end of January. Is
January 15th was our first. That's when we launched.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. So wow. Wow, that's crazy. You'll have to make another trip to Bozeman. No, I'm just kidding. We'll have 10 feet of snow on the ground.
Now, that's when I might not like Bozeman as much.
Right?
I'm not right. a fan of all the snow.
It's not like the snow you get. It's not wet and slushy and dangerous to make a snowball.
I'm sure it's beautiful, though.
It's fluffy. It's so fluffy.
I mean, the mountains and, yeah, I'm sure that's beautiful in the snow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, even here, it's kind of pretty when you walk out and you see the snow. And then halfway through the day when, you know, everybody's trekking through it and, you know, you got plows pushing everything around, then everything just looks nasty.
Right, right.
It's like, okay, so much for that.
And that's a horror in and of itself.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, then we got to clean it up and, oh, gosh.
Right,
I hate
right.
snow.
Okay, well, hey, I'm going to wrap things up because we've already gone an hour just talking about different horror movies and the styles and stuff that they are. This will be interesting to come back to, especially with October. We're going to have some reviews, and I think this conversation will serve us well to help us classify, for me, about some of the horror movies that we're watching, and to hear from you on some of the things that you're watching for October. Because, you know, the end of September, October, there's always some kind of horror movies coming
out. Of course. And I think that, I think this is a good kickoff to Halloween and Venom. And
even Venom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've been discussing doing a Dresden series, mm-hmm. which I think that falls within this genre too, in a way. More of the mystical type of, you know, realm. I think Dresden mm-hmm. falls mm-hmm. in. See, you know, I wouldn't call Dresden like hardcore horror, but it has horror elements to it. Let's just say that.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear you.
It falls into Halloween anyway. not right. Halloween the movie, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, hey, everybody, get on Facebook, get on our Facebook page and let us know what you think about horror movies. What's your opinion on our discussion, even? Like, oh, no, I wouldn't classify it like that. I classify it like this. Or I'd like to hear that. I really want to hear from everybody.
Tell us what your favorite horror movie is.
I'd say your favorite horror movies, and even say if our classification system is a little off, which I'm sure it probably is, kind of a thing. So, I'd love to hear from everybody on that and stuff. Favorite horror movie? How would you classify that one? How, you know, what kind of area or time frame or, you know, have you classified horror movies? That's what I've learned. I haven't realized there's so many different, you know, genres or styles or, you know, of horror movies, how people classify horror movies. So it's going to be, I'd love to hear from everybody and learn from everybody on it. So,
we didn't even get into Hellraiser. Strangeland.
Yes,
you remember Strangeland, don't you?
I have seen the first Hellraiser. That was messed up. I think my experience with Hellraiser was the situation where I was like, I don't want to do, I don't think I like this.
That's, you know, Clive Barker, man. He's that dude's got a messed up mind,
right?
And then Strangeland was Dee Snider, so from Twisted Sister,
right? Right.
Who's also got a bit of a twisted mind himself.
I think so. Anyway. All right, man. Well, hey, with that, that's me signing off, just to ask everybody, I'd love to get your opinions and thoughts about this to help me in my journey in horror films. All right. Well, with that, Mike, that's all you, man. Sign us out.
All right. Well, make sure and check out our webpage, twogeeksmike.com. Check out our Facebook page, of course. Go make a comment. Let us know what your favorite horror film genre whatever, you know, do you prefer the classics, you know, like the Universal Monsters? Do you prefer the slasher films of the 80s, which is kind of my genre hit there? Or do you prefer the newer stuff, you know? What's your preference? Anyway, with that said, I'll take us out of here. Over and out, and may the Force be with you. Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,